brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And turning over to James 5, verses 13 to 15. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word this morning, we come as those who are hungry, who need to be fed, filled with your word, which is true spiritual feasting. O Lord, prepare us. Send your Spirit to open our minds and our hearts so that we will benefit from every nutrient that is found in this word of yours as it's opened and proclaimed to us. And Lord, I do ask that you would help me as the one who has prepared and now is delivering this feast from you. O Lord, give to me clarity of thought and of speech so that the words I speak will be what you want your people to hear this morning, and that they will, by your power working through those words, be strengthened in the faith unto your glory and for their good. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing this morning our series on the theme of prayer. We'll be focused especially in the 1 Thessalonians passage as we think about what Paul means when he calls us to pray without ceasing, but we'll also be looking at James 5, verses 13 and 14 in particular, as well as we go along and consider what God calls us to when he says to pray without ceasing. Now, I've almost no doubt that every one of us has had those days and moments when you just don't feel like praying. You ever been there? You had that experience? I think I heard a chuckle or two. That's the truth, isn't it? There are those days that we're so low, so emotionally down in the dumps, so depressed that getting dressed and putting one foot in front of the other is hard enough that the thought of even speaking one word of prayer feels like a huge weight. Even when we realize that prayer is God's gift and he invites us to come and unburden ourselves to him. Or maybe you've had the experience of feeling guilty, the weight of the law, so to speak, because you don't pray as much as you think you should pray. And you hear exhortations like Paul's, pray without ceasing, and you go, I don't even come close. And so you begin to feel guilty. Or let me ask you another question. Do you ever find prayer tedious or tiring, dare I say it, maybe even boring? And so there's no excitement, no passion to go to prayer. Maybe you think of prayer and you see it as sort of reciting a list of requests. We often do that, don't we, in our prayers? Lord, I need this. Lord, my wife, my son, my friend, my cousin, my parents, I'm praying for this need and that need. And who likes to read a list out loud? And I think sometimes the way we approach prayer, we kind of can bore ourselves when we're just reading those lists. We know we need to pray for one another, but the way we do it makes it sometimes so difficult. Now, on the other hand, have you ever had the experience where you think you are so on top of the world, so in control of your life and destiny that you don't need to pray? Everything's great. Why would I need to pray? There are those who have described the Christian faith as a crutch. And so if you think of the faith as just a crutch, why would you pray? Why depend on God, on Jesus? I'm educated. I'm financially stable. I have wisdom and insight into life and business. Things are great. Now to hear that, you're probably thinking, well, that's the unbeliever, isn't it? But you know it and I know it. We've been there. That's us too at moments in our lives. I'm not saying we live there always. We go there too. We become so proud in a sense that maybe we don't sense the need for prayer. What's your gut reaction when Paul says, pray without ceasing? Is your instinct to respond, who needs all of that? Or the other side, please, I have enough burdens. Don't tell me I got to do more now as well. Well, here's the thing. Paul's exhortation, Paul's encouragement to you and me, his call to pray without ceasing is a call to the proud and to the timid and downtrodden alike. It's a call to those who are tired and weary, as well as those with limitless enthusiasm and energy and boundless optimism. Because the call to pray always, to pray without ceasing, is a call to recognize and to acknowledge our dependency on God in all things. And as we do that, to rejoice that the call to prayer is not a new law, an added burden put on us, but an invitation spontaneously and in a variety of forms to engage in fellowship with God, to worship Him, and to give ourselves to Him in all things. See, as the followers of Jesus, you and I, we are called to pray with variety, lots of different kinds of prayers. We're called to pray with spontaneity. In other words, at any given moment, to burst out in prayer. To pray, therefore, without ceasing. The time and the place of prayer, or the when and the where, we can say is now and always and everywhere. In John 4, John records the story of Jesus' encounter with that woman at the well. And as he dialogues with her in the conversation, at one point she brings up this idea. She says, well, you know, our fathers, she's a Samaritan, she says, our fathers said that this mountain, this is where we're supposed to pray to God. But you Jews, you say it's in Jerusalem that we're supposed to pray. Jesus looks at her and says, ma'am, it's neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. For the Father is seeking worshipers, and He wants those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In other words, it doesn't matter whether you're on that mountain or in Jerusalem or here in St. Charles or in China or Brazil or somewhere in Europe. Wherever you are, and it doesn't matter if it's morning, noon, or night, or the middle of the night, you can go to God in prayer. You can open up your heart to Him everywhere and anywhere and at all times. Now, why is it that Paul calls us to do that? Why is he saying, it doesn't matter where you are or when it is or what you're up to, you can pray to God? Why pray without ceasing? What's the purpose of that incessant prayer? Well, the purpose is this. It's to acknowledge and to raise our awareness and sense of our dependence on God in all of life. You see, when we pray regularly, when we pray always, that means we're recognizing that there is someone far greater and more glorious and more powerful than ourselves or anyone else in the universe, and that we depend on Him for our existence. And so when we pray unceasingly, our consciousness of His presence and of His power grows and is strengthened. Because we're acknowledging it over and over again, whatever prayer we're uttering. You see, if we're supposed to pray nonstop, that means God is there nonstop. It means He's listening and He's there for you and me. Because another way we can understand prayer is that it's an acknowledgement of the reality of God's existence. You see, you're not praying to the air. You don't pray to what's not there. You pray because you know that God is there, Father, Son, and Spirit, that He is alive and well, that He is there, and He is not silent, to borrow a phrase from Francis Schaeffer. Paul says, pray without ceasing, because in this way you're acknowledging the reality that He is there, and that encourages your own faith and bond with Him. Through that prayer, we acknowledge His power, because we know that when we pray, He acts. And we also want to thank Him and praise Him for using His power and His authority for your good and mine. And so through unceasing prayer, you will come to know more deeply and more profoundly the presence and the power of God. Now, if you're one of those timid and tired ones, the ones who feels guilty for not praying enough, this call to continual prayer comes to remind you and to assure you that you can go to God no matter your condition, no matter your struggles, no matter your timidity and your tiredness or your sense of guilt. Because God addresses all those things. You see, you could not go to God repeatedly if He hadn't forgiven you and drawn you near through Jesus. So when Paul says, pray without ceasing, he's reminding you and me that we have the right and the privilege to go to God. You couldn't be asked to pray without ceasing if your lack of zeal for prayer was unforgiven. And so Paul is saying to you, if you're one of the timid, the tired, the ones who feels guilty, he's saying to you and me that ceaseless prayer changes us in time by comforting us through God's ongoing presence. So he's saying over and over and over and over and over again to you and me, come and pray, even when we're not doing it, even when we don't feel like doing it. And so the more we pray, genuinely, honestly, opening our hearts to the Lord, we grow in the sense of Christ's presence. And He assures you and me of His love and His nearness to us. Now, if you're among the ones who are too proud to pray, the call to ceaseless prayer forces us to acknowledge repeatedly that God is the one who acts. hearts. Not you, not me. That it's God by His Spirit who brought about the situation in which we live, who gave us the blessings of health, of employment, of homes, of family, of every good thing in life. And so that call to ceaseless prayer is a reminder to you and me that every good thing comes from the Father of lights above. So you see, God uses prayer in every believer's life. Whether we're having those moments of pride and arrogance and thinking we're on top of the world, or we're having those moments of feeling very down and timid and tired and guilty, He calls us to ceaseless prayer because that unceasing prayer both humbles us by reminding us of our utter dependence on God, but also serves to lift us up, to encourage and to sustain us, because we understand that we are going to the God of all creation, who through Jesus calls you and me His children. And so that's why Paul says, pray without ceasing, so you can taste and experience the presence and the nearness of God, of Christ, of the Spirit. But the question, logically, next, I'm guessing you're thinking this. If you're not, I'm going to tell you to think it, is how, Paul, how can I possibly pray without ceasing? Does that mean we should all go and join monasteries and convents? Paul, is that what you expect of us? Is that what the Lord desires? No. That's not what Paul calls us to. Rather, ceaseless prayer is an acknowledgement that we all live, to borrow a phrase from someone else, coram Deo. We all live before the face of God. It's a consciousness of that reality, that He is there, that leads to spontaneity and variety in prayer, which is how we can pray without ceasing. In other words, there's so many times and ways and forms in which to pray that we will never lack. And so our entire lives can be one big prayer before the Lord. Now look at James for a moment, section verses 13 to 15. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, and so on. Notice what James is doing here. He's highlighting the different circumstances and kinds and forms and varieties of prayer. Are you suffering? Are you feeling burdens? Are you literally suffering in your body? Are you being persecuted? Are you having trouble at work or in a relationship or with a child or a parent? Whatever the form of suffering, James says, when you're suffering, pray. Go to God. Which one of us would dare say that we don't encounter and experience some kind of suffering, maybe even every single day? There's a moment for prayer. There's a call for prayer, a reason for prayer. But then he says, in the next phrase, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Are you feeling on top of the world? Are you happy today? Are you rejoicing in good blessings that you have experienced and encountered? He says, sing to the Lord. Shout praises to Him, because singing to Him and giving praises and thanks to God is a form of prayer. You see, prayer isn't just going to God when we're hurting and suffering. It's going to God when good things are happening and acknowledging that and thanking Him for it. You see, prayer encompasses every experience that we have in life. what James is highlighting for us is that you're invited to pray according to how you feel at that moment or according to what it is you're experiencing. And so sometimes you're going to do one of those, "Help, Lord," kinds of prayers. And at other times, it's going to be, "Oh, Father, oh, thank you so much. What a marvelous blessing you have given me today." Prayer can be at any time and in any place and in so many different forms and ways. The First Thessalonians passage, to bring us back there, is very similar, verses 16 to 18. Notice what Paul does. It's almost sort of staccato, these phrases. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances." You see, he too points out the variety of prayer. He says, rejoice. We rejoice when we're experiencing something good, or we see something, we hear something that's a blessing, whether to ourselves or to others. And we praise God for it. That's the idea of rejoicing, celebrating God and his goodness, Jesus and his goodness, the Spirit and his goodness. But then Paul adds to that in verse 17, the phrase we've been focused on, pray without ceasing. Go to God when you have petitions and needs, when you're in sorrow or agony or when you've sinned. Go to that throne of grace to receive mercy and help in your time of need. Paul then adds in verse 18 this call to give thanks in all circumstances. When do we give thanks? It's also in response to blessings and good things that we encounter and experience. So you see, when Paul says pray without ceasing, we can do so because there's so much variety in prayer, and we can do it spontaneously at any moment. There are times we might use set prayers, a prayer that we write out, or we borrow from someone else and we pray those words because they help us in our prayer. At other times, whatever thoughts flood our minds, we pour them out before the Lord. There's variety and spontaneity in prayer. That's why we can pray without ceasing, because there's always something to say to the Lord. I mean, just think about it. What do prayer in the midst of suffering, singing praise in joy, rejoicing in general, and giving thanks, what do all of these things have in common? The answer is you, the followers of Jesus, God's people, speaking with God. See, each, whether we're praising him or petitioning him, each of these is people communicating with the Lord. Communication that takes many forms, whether it's actual verbal spoken prayers, or prayers that you utter in your heart and in your mind and no one else hears them. Or if they're songs of praise. I don't know if you realize that or think much about it, but when we sing hymns and songs to the Lord, it's a form of prayer, because it's us doing the speaking to God. And so prayer, whether spoken or sung or uttered exclusively in our minds, in our thoughts, all of this is our speech, our part of an ongoing dialogue with God. That's why we can pray all the time, because it doesn't take the writing of a dissertation to pray. It doesn't take having to set aside a specific time for prayer, though we do that as well. We can go to God and speak with him every moment of every day, even if it's in just very brief snippets in between all of our other responsibilities. You see, this call to prayer is not a new law. It's not meant to be a burden to you and me. It's an invitation in every situation, every moment of life, to speak with your Heavenly Father appropriate to that situation. That's why we can pray without ceasing. We always have something to praise Him for, to thank Him for. There's always something to ask Him for, to petition, to express adoration, to confess our sins, and yes, something we do, even to complain to God. That's part of our dialogue with Him. And this is why I call it the spontaneity and variety of prayer. In the story of Jesus being brought to the temple as an infant to be dedicated to God, we read as Luke tells a story of how Simeon was there, a man to whom it had been revealed that he would not die until he saw the Messiah of God. What happens? Simeon sees Jesus being brought and he blesses God, Luke tells us, and he shouts out, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation," and so on. He rejoices. He just experienced the fulfillment of God's promises. What has God done for you? What things have you already prayed for and seen come to pass? There's a moment to praise God and say, "Thank you, Lord." In that same passage, we also encounter Anna the prophetess, who reacts similarly in her case too. We're told she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Or think of Psalm 30 that we read earlier. It's a psalm that was filled with praise and thanksgiving, but it was combined with pleas and petitions, expressions of gratitude for salvation from enemies, as well as a recognition of God's grace. Verse 5, "For His anger is but for a moment, and His favor for a lifetime." There's a plea for mercy and assistance. Verse 8, "To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy." Whatever the situation, the psalm writers turn to the Lord and they spoke to Him or sang to Him according to what they were experiencing. And that's what James and Paul are echoing in that call to a variety of prayer and spontaneity in prayer. That's what it means, and this is why we can pray without ceasing. Now, we've said that prayer is our communication with God. It's our communication with God appropriate to the situation. It might be silent. We might voice it. We might sing it. But I want to go and take a further step by returning to a theme we touched on several weeks ago. And I called that sermon the fellowship of prayer. We looked at how we have fellowship with one another when we pray. We also spent time thinking about our fellowship with God when we pray. Well, the call to pray without ceasing, you see, is another way of describing that fellowship that we have with God. Because fellowship is a two-way activity. To pray without ceasing is not simply a call for you and me to communicate with the Father. It's a call to engage in the dialogue of fellowship. A dialogue that is a continual, non-stop recognition of Christ's presence. As the hymn writer put it, "He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way." It's living with a consciousness of the Holy Spirit and an appreciation of the Father's watchful eye and open ear. Psalm 139, "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" Psalm 34, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." You see, this reality of the presence of Christ, the Spirit, and the Father, prayer not only speaks to God, but the call to prayer is a call to listen for His voice, to seek His response. See, this is another reason we can pray without ceasing, because in prayer we're also to listen for him. And there are two key aspects of listening. The first is that we need to imbibe God's word. We need to meditate upon it. We need to memorize God's word. As we fill ourselves with God's word, we're involved, engaged in that dialogue of fellowship. It's part of prayer because we need to hear before we speak. If Paul meant for us to do all the talking, when would we ever be able to hear God speaking to us? So the call to ceaseless prayer is a call to be like what the psalmist describes in Psalm 1. The one who meditates on the word of God day and night, and therefore is like that tree planted by the waters, giving forth its fruits, healthy and rich in goodness. Or as the psalmist puts it in Psalm 119, the one who stores up God's word in his or her heart will be empowered not to sin against the Lord and to keep his way pure. In this ongoing, ceaseless prayer, in the dialogue of fellowship with God, we need to listen to God. That means part of praying without ceasing is being in his word and spending time thinking about it and mulling it over. Now, I mentioned that prayer without ceasing includes living with the consciousness of the Holy Spirit's presence. Well, you see, the word of God written is the ongoing present day voice of the Spirit. You will hear him every time you open the word of God and you read from it. Those are his words to you and me. When we meditate on that word, when we mull it over, when we reflect upon it, when we think about it, we're listening. And in that sense, participating in ongoing, nonstop prayer. But there's another aspect to listening to God, and it's this. It's listening for his specific response or word to us. Now, I don't mean by that waiting to hear some literal other audible voice from the Lord. Rather, it's the application of that meditation on his word to your present circumstances. It's being attuned to what it is that God might be highlighting for you as you read his word and reflect on it that day. So when you are saddened and down, and you call out to him, and then you read from his word, and you discover and are reminded that he is near to the brokenhearted, to those who are crushed in spirit, your spirits will be revived as you go, "Yes, Lord, thank you for speaking to me there." And so we're to listen for his voice as he teaches us through his word, as he reproves us. Sometimes in the dialogue of prayer, we're going to be shown our error and our sin and where we've gotten off track. And in that fellowship, he's calling us to repent and to confess and to be restored. So then we'll shout out another prayer of praise and of thanks. And so in that ongoing dialogue of prayer, ask the Spirit, what do I need to learn today? Where do I need to repent? What are the ways that I need to change my life? Where do I need correction to stay on the right path? When you and I experience and engage in prayer as part of that fellowship with God, you and I, we can pray without ceasing, because that prayer, that fellowship, is a two-way street. You don't have to do all the talking. As a matter of fact, you and I shouldn't do all the talking. We need to talk and we need to listen. Talk and listen, listen and talk. That's how we are able to fulfill the call to pray without ceasing. And so when you get up and you don't feel like praying that day, when you are burdened, when you feel guilt and weight, or when you think maybe you don't need to pray at all, let Paul's word come back ringing in your ears. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, because there you will encounter and experience and be reminded that Father, Son, and Spirit are present with you, that He is there, that He is not silent. And He has promised that even this call to pray without ceasing, it's not in your power on your own to fulfill, but there too, He sends His Spirit to fill you and to empower you so that you can live in that dialogue of fellowship, of that ceaseless, non-stop prayer. Bring Him your needs and your praises. Do it with the help of the Spirit. And that's a little teaser for next week's sermon, as we will look together at the Spirit of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for granting us this gift of prayer and this call and reminder that sometimes seems like a heavy law for us. How can we possibly be praying all the time? But Lord, we thank You that what You are calling us to there is to living every moment of our lives conscious that You are there and that we are utterly and entirely dependent upon You in all things. And so expressing that throughout our day, moment by moment, praising You, thanking You, calling on You for help, and so on. Oh Lord, send us Your Spirit, fill us with Him, so we will live our lives with this kind of consciousness as we look forward to the day when we will be with You in Your immediate presence, Father, Son, and Spirit, forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.